This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
That Sports Show, Joy 94.9, with your host, Mel. You can hear me. And my co-host, Stu. Are you there, Stuart?
I'm here, Malcolm.
Yes, I can just hear you. I was having telephone troubles before getting you on the line, and I can't seem to get the other person on the line, So I'm not sure how we're going to do this.
Well, why don't we talk about all the sports that have happened this week, and then we'll come to horse racing soon.
Yeah, I think so, and I'll have to talk to him on my own. So I will send him a message, and you and I can talk general sport together. For some reason, the second line's not working here. Stuart, did you watch the Melbourne Cup?
I certainly did. I've been in Perth for the World Masters Athletics.
Yes.
And I certainly had a look at the screen to see the amazing race, that amazing finish between those two horses in front of a 100,000-strong crowd.
Tell me more.
Well, I was thrilled with the finish. The amazing race between Jao Moreira,
yes,
horse against Kieran McAvoy.
Fantastic. And did you see the pat on the back at the end?
It was phenomenal. Mm. So just revive memories of those races where you've just got one horse against each other, right for the last 200, 300, 400 metres. Phenomenal.
Yeah, that's right. And did you have a flutter?
Yes, I did. There's only one Australian born horse in the race, Gemina. So I didn't do any good on that. The favourites did pretty well in the race.
Yeah. We had a sweep at work and they haven't actually announced who it is, who won. Anyway, briefly, we will say, though, that the winning jockey was Kieran McAvoy. And
On Almandon, and from to snatch victory from Irish Hope Heartbreak City, which is by Jao Moreira.
That's right. He kept it in the family because, you know, Michelle Payne won it last year as the first female jockey, and everyone was so hoping that she would get a ride, and she didn't. But Kieran McAvoy is her brother-in-law, so he is married to her sister, and he won it 12 years ago. So this is a second Melbourne Cup for Kieran McAvoy. Now, so that was pretty amazing. Now, what else briefly in horse racing before we talk to Daniel Lehrer, our racing expert, later in the show about that? Did you see the co-owner of Heartbreak City, Aidan Shields' hilarious interview for coming second?
Yes.
I'll paraphrase it because it's very short. The interviewer says, "You came second." And then the other guy goes, "I don't care, I don't care." And the interviewer says, "This is the Melbourne Cup." And he then says, "I don't care, we came here, we finished second. We would have been happy with last."
So, well, there's a big difference between winning a Melbourne Cup and losing by a short half head.
Yes, that's right. Now, Stuart, in further news with the home of Australian racing, Flemington, the grandstand's going to be completely redone, the members' grandstand, 92-year-old grandstand. It's going to be knocked down and a brand-new state-of-the-art one, $128 million one, is going to be built. And it won't be finished for next year's Cup, so it'll be a bit small and cramped next year. But then it'll be ready for 2018.
Well, I think that's great for racing because it's such a popular thing in the Victorian calendar. Mm. So I know there's a lot of history associated with the particular grandstand, but bigger and better is very important, I think. It's a world race. There's only one Australian horse in the race. So yes. I think it's great for Melbourne and Australia that it's being developed.
Yeah, I'm amazed there's only one Australian in the race, Stuart.
Well, there you go. It was a lot of Irish horses, some American, a lot of Great Britain horses, and some New Zealand.
Oh, well, the New Zealands, we claim them as our own. So there you go. Now, also, following on from a bit of horse racing, because, yes, as I said, Daniel and I will talk horse racing afterwards. Did you know that the WTA tennis finals were held in Singapore this week?
Oh, yes. Yeah. What happened there?
Dominika Sibulkova, who just qualified as the seventh ranked, she upset Angelique Kerber, the top seed at number one in the world, to win the tournament. And it's her biggest title by far in her career. Very happy. She was crying. Her parents were crying. Everyone was crying.
Poor Angelique.
Yeah, poor Angie. No, done pretty well, Angie. Finals of Wimbledon, the Olympics and the WTA finals, and won the Australian and the US and bombed out in the French. Deserved world number one. You know, you get to the final or you win it, you've done pretty well.
You have.
Yeah, so Angie did that. And meanwhile, this week, the Zhuhai Trophy is for the next 10 best in the world. Now, Aussie Sam Stosur is playing in China right now for that tournament. But we'll report on that next week. And also this week in Vienna, Andy Murray in his race for number one beat Joe Wilfried Tsonga. And in Basel, Marin Cilic beat Kei Nishikori. So there you go. Now, moving on from tennis, netball. Now, have you seen the Fast Five, Stuart?
No, what's the Fast Five?
Well, you know how we have 2020 cricket and we have AFL Nines for footy and the big bash, which is 2020. Well, in netball, they have the Fast Five where you only have five per side, and the World Series was held in Melbourne this week. And at that multi-purpose venue, as they call it. But Australia, they played well in their lead-up, but they lost the final to New Zealand, 41-16. And when you have five, it's five per side, but the New Zealand team were just too good. But in the preliminary rounds, they did beat the New Zealanders, so it was all a bit weird. Look out for that Fast Five, because it will, you know, the shortened forms of the games are taking over, I say. What do you think?
Absolutely. Even in lawn bowls, we have 40-40, two 40-minute halves rather than a five-hour match.
Oh.
I think 2020. Absolutely. So, that's what's happening in our society. People want shorter, more sort of flexible and agile games, and they want to see the absolute highlights.
Yes.
Even at the cost of the history of all the different sports. So, I mean, why not? Why not bring netball into that equation as well?
Well, that's right, Stuart, because after 5 minutes of lawn bowls, I'm in the bar, really. now, Stuart, you're in Perth, and I must say something. Congratulations for you for becoming the world champion in the men's 45 to 49 age group for the 10-kilometre walk. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Certainly, a lot of effort's been put in on the training track, so none of these things come easily.
Yeah.
I was able to follow my race plan, which was to go out with some of the younger walkers in the lower age group.
Yes, and hang on with them, and then break your opponents.
I did, and there was a race between three behind me.
Yes.
But I actually managed to have a 200-300 metre gap on those, which I was then able to maintain for the race. And where that leaves me is that I've got a 20-kilometre race on Friday, which is the third of my three races in this campaign.
I'm glad that's the last one.
In the five. Yeah, that's right. And some of the participants are not doing the 20, so it's going to be a different race.
Well, if you got bronze, you'd complete your collection, but I'm sure you're going for gold because you didn't go all that way.
No, that's right. I want to prove that I'm the best walker in the age category in the world, so that's what I'm here for.
Now, those men that were second and third in the 10K, were they also podium members for the 5K that you got the silver in?
Yes. Yeah, we just swapped places.
You and the gold swapped. Was the bronze still the bronze?
Yes, and he just beat a Swedish guy who I think is very well placed for the 20-kilometre, so I think he'll be a major threat in the race that'll be on Friday.
Okay. Well, that is really good news. Now, Stuart, whilst you're in Perth, on Thursday you'll be going to the first day of the cricket test, Australia and South Africa.
I am. I've got my tickets to the WACA for the first day. They're all very excited about that over here, although it will be the last year probably at the WACA because they've redeveloped the Burswood Stadium.
All right.
Yes.
Mm.
So We've got a fast pitch, we understand. Mm. So it'll be interesting. There's been lots of injuries on the Wacker because it's a fast, hard pitch. Mm. It's regarded as the most brutal on the Australian circuit.
Yes.
Mitchell Johnson broke David Warner's thumb here a few years ago. So well, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the test.
Mm, right. Now, I know you know a lot about cricket, so I'd be really interested in your report next week.
Yeah.
Are you taking your parents?
Yes, my parents are coming over for the World Masters Athletics.
Yeah.
And we're all going to the crickets tomorrow. It'll be interesting.
That'd be...
We've looked at the Wacker's regulations in the members area, and if you're going to wear a strappy dress, your membership card must be narrower than the width of the strap, and your dress or your skirt or your shorts must be minimum within a membership card of your knee.
Well, the thing is, because over there it's so hot, they have to have more relaxed dress regulations for a members area.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. I like how you used the membership card reference. So very good. So I look.
That's on their website.
I know, and I look forward to your report on cricket because I know you love it so much. Now, have you been following the rugby union and the rugby league, the Australian Four Nations tour of
the
British
that.
Islands? Well, Australia thrashed Scotland. What was the score? 54-12. We once beat New Zealand 108-0. Now, in this game, we were 20-0 after 15 minutes, but in the end, it was 54-12. But we were playing all our good players, such as Cooper Cronk and Josh Mansour and man of the match, Matt Moylan, who had 4 try assists. So the Aussies, when they want to put on the jersey, you know, I would play for my country. It doesn't matter if you're playing a minnow. You still want to win. It doesn't matter who you're playing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I would if I was given the opportunity. So, yes, definitely a good effort there. Now, Stuart, also, have you been paying attention to the W League soccer and their talks over collective bargaining? This is right up your former alley.
It is, yes. I'm no longer an industrial relations lawyer, but I do like to keep in touch with my sports collective agreement making.
Yeah, so
what's happening?
What's happening on the eve of the new W League, the Football Federation Australia and the Players Union, the PFA, have confirmed discussions are taking place over establishing an agreement that will limit the number of players balancing full-time work commitments to play elite football. So
right,
it's a giant stride away from part-time payments and part-time players to full-time professionals. So that's really good. It may not be completed by the end of the upcoming season, but it's getting started. So, because at the moment, the Australian women's team has a CBA for pay playing, CBA being collective bargaining agreement, for pay, playing, travel and training conditions, which just includes 20 players on full-time contracts. And, you know, that's not the whole league. That's just the top-notch ones. But now it's going to apply to everyone. So we look forward to that. We are certainly for equality in sport on That Sports Show, where it currently is 13 minutes past 8 and 15 degrees here in Melbourne. What's it in Perth? Warmer than that?
It is very, very, very warm here if you're out in the sun.
Yeah. And if anyone would like to comment on any of the things that we've been talking about tonight, they can text us to 0427-JOY949, which is 0427-569-949, or they can email us to onair@joy.org.au. Now, Stuart, finally, in news of the week, Daniel Ricciardo came third in the Mexican Formula One Grand Prix. And it means that he has secured third place overall in the Drivers' Championship. So Aussie podium for the season. But interesting that the race, though, he came fifth over the line, but there were protests and he got promoted and other people got demoted with time penalties. So that was good news for him. It's always good to get from fifth to fourth to third. So he said, I'll take it. It was fun and I'm wrapped up third in the championship. So he said, you little beauty. He's now heading off to Sao Paulo in Brazil for the Brazilian Grand Prix on November 13. Will you be there?
November 13, no, I won't be there. Mm. But if you ask me, would I be at Carnival in February next year? I think probably yes.
Mm. Carnevale.
Yeah. Mm.
Now, Stuart, unfortunately, because of the phone issue I'm having, I can't have you join me for the second half of the show, and I'll be talking to our horse racing expert, Daniel Lehrer, about what else went on at the Melbourne Cup.
Well, Daniel knows all about fashions on the field. He knows horse racing, so yeah. He's the one to ask.
Yeah, so sorry, I'm going to have to say goodbye to you, but will you be in the studio next week?
I will be.
Oh, my God. Because that'll be the first day of your new job, so you'll have to be in town.
Correct. And so thanks very much to listeners for putting up with my absence, but I will be there next Wednesday.
Oh, and can you guarantee it for the rest of the year?
Yeah, of course I can.
Oh, fantastic. We look forward to seeing you again. We always have such a good time on That Sports Show with you, whether you're on the phone or whether you're in the studio. I wish I could travel as much as you. Anyway.
So when I speak to the listeners next, I will have completed the World Masters and I will have seen at least the first day of the Wacker Test.
Yep. And when do you come back?
I'm back on Tuesday.
Oh, on Tuesday. So you're staying in Perth for even longer?
No, I'm going to the Gold Coast for a bit of a break before my new job.
Oh, having a holiday rest just on your own?
Yeah, I'm doing the Pan Pacific Masters Games also on the weekend.
Oh, that's right.
And the Gold Coast.
No, Stuart, that's fine, because that just reminded me, the Glamourhead Sharks, some of them are going there to swim, so you might see some of them there. They're competing in the Pan Pacific Games. So it's not really a rest for you. What day is your event for that one?
That's on Sunday at the 10-kilometre at Runaway Bay.
Yeah.
And I must say, the Glamourhead Sharks are in great form, having attended their meet at Richmond Pool last week. Mm. Terrific group.
Yeah, it was good.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, Malcolm here in the studio. Stuart's in Perth. Now, joining us on the line is our racing expert, Daniel Lehrer. Hello, Daniel.
Hi, Malcolm. How are you?
I am fine. Yes, you are our racing expert because you go to the races a lot, don't you?
I go regularly. I'm a little scared of the term racing expert. Well, our mutual friend Bo could potentially be listening, and who is a racing expert.
Oh, yes, he certainly is. He knows the form inside out, doesn't he?
He does indeed. Yeah. I only know the fashions on the field, I'm afraid.
Well, I'm sure that you knew the main race and you saw who won and who came second and things like that. I've actually got the finishing order here, so I did a little bit of homework. Now, we had a sweep at work, and I don't even remember what the horses I've got, and they haven't announced who won it yet, so I'll be looking forward to that. But it was a close finish between Almandon and Heartbreak City. It was really good, wasn't it?
It was, and if I had followed the tips from the ABC, I at least would have got a place in Heartbreak.
Yeah.
But, of course, I didn't, and so I got nothing.
Mm. When I thought of Heartbreak City, I thought of the Cars. Remember them? They had an album called Heartbreak City.
Yeah, sorry. When you said the Cars.
Yeah, they're that band.
The Cars, yes.
And Hartnell, the favourite, came third, but it wasn't quite in the running right at the end with the Almandon and Heartbreak City.
And that was the point that the ABC said, go with the heart.
Ah, and so it could have been either of them.
Yes, and so I went with Oceanographer and got nothing.
Well, Oceanographer only just qualified for the Cup only last Saturday, I think, and so I reckon it would have been too tired.
Well, yeah, they were discussing all of that, whether like as you would as a marathon runner, whether you lead up to an event or whether you continue to
keep
train
being fit,
so that you'll be ready for the event.
Yeah.
And now, there are two distinct trains of thought in relation to this.
Yes.
And I don't know which one is correct, and neither does anyone else.
Now, you gave a parallel to marathon running. Now, that leads us to the fact that aren't you running in a fun run soon?
I am, and you said that you would be fit and ready to run in the same thing. Have you entered?
I have entered, but I may be a do not start or I might be a walk. I don't think I can run it. So you can beat me. Now, what
is unusual. For those that don't know, we're talking about the City to Sea Fun Run on Sunday, the 20th of November. It's about, was it, Malcolm, 16 kilometres?
14, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't
around that number anyway.
Yeah.
And it's really, it is fun. run because it's not too long for those of us like myself.
Yeah.
And it finishes at St Kilda Beach, and provided the sun is out, that is also ideal.
Mm. No, fantastic. And it's our own city to surf. Now, Daniel, you were in the nursery on Saturday, is that right?
That is right. I was in the nursery, and I have to say, we wandered into, doing a Stuart here, wandered into the members for the main race, and the atmosphere was great just because it was such a close race.
Yes.
Tomorrow, however, at Oaks Day, for those unfamiliar, it has been rebranded
Ladies Day
as Blokes Day.
Oh, Blokes Day, because all the women are there.
Well, yeah, and from my point of view, because all the blokes are there and dressed up very nicely.
That's right, for us anyway, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, because they say that Derby Day is the traditionalist day for the real purists for racing. Cup Day, of course, is just, you know, everybody's day. And Oaks Day is Ladies Day or Blokes Day. And then Stakes Day is Family Day.
That's right. Yeah. So I'm not going.
No, we don't go on Family Day. No, we're too tired by then after all the other racing. Now,
right.
So you were in the nursery on Tuesday, and tell us what it was like, the atmosphere out there. You know, fashions on the field, the behaviour, everyone having a good time, that sort of thing.
I think everybody did have a good time, and really everyone is amazingly well behaved. Mm-hmm. And what's really nice about it is everyone is so good-humoured.
Yes.
Everybody is there to have a good time.
Yes.
And, yes, you bet on the horses, and as, you know, I've probably banged on about a bit, I didn't win any money, and that's okay. Really, you know, that's not how you invest in your future, by betting on horses.
No.
You bet on your future by owning shares in one of the betting companies, I think.
Yeah.
but anyway, so everybody had a good time. Everyone was dressed very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did see some people that were messy toward the end of the day, but part of the fun, really. And, tomorrow, starting it all again, I was actually interested to see that the actual Crown Oaks, sorry, that's not an advertisement, but that's what it's called.
Yes.
The race isn't until 5 o'clock.
Do you know why?
No, I don't know why.
Because the feature races are designed to be later in the day because they are at a better time for the Hong Kong and Chinese. That's why.
Okay.
So Bo, who lives in Hong Kong, our other racing expert, it will be in prime time for him and for all the big market bettors in Asia. That's why they have the races so late. The feature race. That's why.
Melbourne Cup, even I think, was a bit later than it used to be, which is interesting. I mean, but not 5 o'clock; it's about 3 o'clock.
I can't actually remember what time it was. I do know that Derby.
I know you were busy in the birdcage, weren't you?
I was. We'll get to my birdcage in a minute. I just do remember that the Derby was at 3:50 p.m. on Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, but I can't remember what time the cup was. But okay.
Now that we're onto the Oak, because you have branded me as the expert.
Yes.
I will provide two tips for people to ignore.
Okay. Fire away.
One is Eleonora.
Oh, I like that name.
Because Damien Oliver is riding.
Right.
And one is, and I'm not even sure how to pronounce it, Mo Queen. Maybe because it's November, and maybe because Anthony Cummings, who is Bart's grandson or son, one of the two, I guess.
I think it's James.
So James is the grandson and Anthony's the son?
Yes.
Either way, it's a Cummings horse, so that's my excuse for going for that one. So Mo Queen and Eleonora. And you could do what I did on the cup and do a Quinella on the two of them and lose all your money.
That is funny, Daniel. Now, Daniel, I was, as you said, I was in the birdcage living it up with my sister. Now, I've never been to the birdcage. This was my first time. She went there for business and I was her plus one. So it was fun being a plus one in the birdcage with all the celebrities. Celebrities being...
Celebrities.
Yeah, C or D. They're all The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, The X Factor, The Voice.
Is that all...
I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. What?
I did look at your photos on Facebook where you said you were with the... I've forgotten how you put it, but I looked at them and thought, I have no idea who any of these people are. I'm sorry.
These people. No, you need to watch reality television.
I'm missing out.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, I knew
the gay guy on My Kitchen Rules or MasterChef or whatever it was on.
He wasn't there.
Oh, well.
No, I don't know. They're milking their 5 minutes of fame. Look, and there were some pretty girls and some pretty boys, and there were some fashion ones. My funniest thing, though, what Daniel was, we got in there. I think it was 10 till 6 in our marquee, which was Census. I will give the sponsor's name. And we got there about, say, 11, 11.30, and it was warming up then. But these two young girls came in, and as soon as they walked in, they started taking selfies of themselves. And I thought, oh, okay, would you like me to take a photo of you? And I thought, well, I'd be kind and take a photo. And I did. And then they continued to take photos of themselves. And that's this generation. They're just constantly taking photos. But I asked them, you know, they finally talked to people and they were bloggers. And so it's all about photos, blogs and Instagram and all this sort of stuff. And I was like, oh.
But like, So they got an invitation because they're bloggers?
Yeah, because then they'll talk about things and post photos of themselves with people. So I found that quite strange. But, you know, that was that. Anyhow, Daniel, thank you for your colourful report about the Melbourne Cup and the carnival. I look forward to hearing more from you in the coming weeks. But we're going to have to say goodbye for now.
Wonderful.
Yeah, thank you.
Will I see you there tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
No, you're working, aren't you?
Yes, I'm working. No, you won't see me tomorrow. I'll look for your pictures on Facebook. Well. Okay. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thanks. Bye.
And that was Daniel Lehrer, our racing expert. I'm Malcolm, and just quickly, a couple of messages, it looks like. I'll buy Stuart, someone says, and Stuart sounds like he is at the bottom of a sewer. Yes, because he's on the telephone from Perth. So that's quite funny.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.